legend. He's Bish. This is John Bishop's Alphabet Soup. City Talk 105.9.
To the show. This is Sean Bishop and Kelvin Roberts. This is a show that has been named Alphabet Soup for reasons that will become apparent to those who are prepared to stay and listen beyond the normal customer listenership of 45 seconds. However, we've already got off to a flying start as Mr. Roberts has just slurped his coffee and nearly died. Although it's not coffee, it's tea. What happened there?
Is it really tea?
It's tea. Why does it taste coffee-esque?
It doesn't taste... It. You know what it tastes of? It tastes of washing up liquid. You know, you got to...
Well, I tell you what.
The dishwasher.
No way. I tell you what, because it's a bloody disgrace. I went upstairs. I had to wash that cup, right? And I'm not saying I had to wash that cup. That's a disgrace. I don't mind washing the odd cup now and again. But I had to wash that cup. There was not a single cup in the cupboard. We've got a cupboard upstairs in City Tower, and there's, I'd say, within this building, probably 200 cups. I think that wouldn't be far off. Not one cup available. So I had to get that cup and this cup, which had tea in it, that had stood there that long that when you poured it out, the rim still had that brown ring where tea used to be. I had to pour that out and wash it myself by my hand to make that cup of tea.
Yeah.
So I know that there's no washing up liquid in it. There's just stale tea taste.
Anyway. Thanks anyway.
Yeah.
I'll still drink it because I'm absolutely famished.
Parched is the word.
Yeah, that's what famished is, hungry, isn't it?
Yeah. Parched. I'm absolutely parched.
So, how are you there, Mr. Bish?
I'm very good, sir. How's things with yourself? What's been going on in your world before we crack on with the magic of the show? What's been going on? What's happening, son?
Pretty quiet, really. I'm just counting down the days to entry. Two more weeks to go. That's my...
Someone sent me a text. When's Ladies Day?
That'll be a week on Friday.
Right. Yeah. I don't know where I am, then. Don't know where I am.
I don't like Ladies' Day, though.
Why? Well, you went last year with me to Ladies' Day, didn't you, and you left? Was it Ladies' Day? One day and you walked away.
That was 3 years ago, that. We went to that one.
Yeah.
That was on a Thursday. I go Thursday and I go Saturday.
Why?
I never go on a Friday.
Why?
Mutton dress as lamb day.
Nothing wrong with that, lad.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong
with...
There's
only one filly I'm interested in, lad. It's got four legs and a swishy tail on that particular day. Much of a... A concentration lapse when I go on a Friday.
I went to Ladies' Day at Chester Races once with the Works too.
I like that one.
It was with Works too. And we went to the races and someone I worked with who come up from down south said, I've never seen so many welders in suits in my life. And it is true, you see, people, you've not worn that suit a lot, have you? You know, they're making a go of it and then they're all absolutely trolley. They're about half eight. But no, mate, it's I got a thing about going. I don't know. I'm not it's too busy as well.
It is. I only go on a Saturday now. I've got like a stand ticket. Going in the Tats on a Saturday now. Oh my word.
The Tats is where the plebs go.
Yes. To put a finer point on
it's where ordinary people go.
Yeah,
plebs is probably...
Plebs is a bit too harsh, you know, because it's still expensive to go in the Tats. It's still about 40 quid.
No way.
To go in the Tats on a Saturday, you know. And
40 quid for anything that's got the word tat in it doesn't sound good, does it?
Well, absolutely. But you know what? Double the price, 85 quid, and we've got a Queen Mother stand. And it's just the difference in having somewhere nice to go, you know, and have a wee in. makes all the difference. You know, a proper toddler.
What goes on in the Tat? Is it just a trough in the Tat?
Honestly, it literally is. You got these porter cabins that they've probably just dragged up from Glastonbury. Oh, it's horrendous.
You don't want to be paying £40 for that, do you?
But you have to, though. That's the thing. So, it always, it's just to pay a little bit extra. You know,
you've got to look after yourself sometimes.
Absolutely.
You know, treat yourself. You know what I mean? That's what your world's filled with, isn't it?
When you study for to that China, you know, your urinal, it makes all the difference, you think. This is where the money's gone. This is where it's gone.
Yeah. I think a man...
Quite literally.
A man in your position needs to be able to wee where he wants. You've lived too long on this planet and created too much happiness to be weeing on plastic. You want some china urinal. You want to go right into the mains, not into some blue thing at the bottom, some bluey water stuff.
It is funny. You go to the tat one.
What is it called, the tat?
I don't know. It's just a racing terminology. Tattersalls.
And that's everywhere that where there's racing. The standing at the edge of it is always called the tat.
Yes. I mean, there's a tat at Haydock. There's a tat at Chester.
Oh, right, I like that. Yeah.
Someone's got the tats. But when you go into the tats toilets, forget about boys and girls. It's just a free-for-all, you know. Obviously, girls have to queue that a little bit more. They haven't got the patience. They're straight into any porta cabin they can find.
Yeah.
The amount of times I've turned around and found some... Yeah, well, I think you can imagine the rest.
Yeah. But, again, when you think about it, the effort that goes into putting the hat on and all the rest of it, and the posh frock, to then have to hover over a porcelain loom.
I was remember about 5 years ago. I was doing one of these portals, and this young girl, I'd slipped over in the portal.
Oh, no!
Just a picture for you.
That's awful, that.
It was worse for her.
She'd never go in the tat ever again.
She'd never go anywhere ever again.
Oh, God. That's just put me off altogether. I'm never going to go to racing.
It was a white suit and all.
I'm never going to let any of my family go to racing unless I know what the toilet facilities are available. That's the kind of experience you can only have once in your life. That's awful.
Oh, I'll tell you. But it's a great festival, though. It's something to be proud of. I love it. I love it.
It brings in a lot of money.
You know what? If I lived abroad... ever in years to come, I would still come back for Aintree.
Really?
Yeah, I'd come back more for Aintree than I would do for Christmas.
Who are you going with on the Thursday?
I think there's a few people from here, actually.
I'll have a little look on the tire. Because I've been, but as I say, I've not been as excited as other people seem to get. I might be missing something. I might be doing it wrong. But I'm not...
Well, you've got to go for the day, not just go for a quick half an hour. Lose £2 and think, oh, sod this, I'm going.
Right,
you
know, okay.
You've got to go for the day.
Yeah, go the whole thing. But what about the getting in and out?
Just go on the train. Takes you right outside.
That's it. You've got it sorted, haven't you?
Everything's planned, lad. Everything's military precision.
Yes.
Actually, feel quite
any
posh.
Tips? Have you got any tips for the punters, or is it too close yet if they not come up with the field?
No, you can... I've already backed the one for the Grand National.
Oh, really?
Yes, I tend to do that when anti-post. I backed it a few weeks ago, actually.
Whoa, what's going to happen if it doesn't run?
I don't get my money back. I lose my money.
Really?
Yeah, but it'll run.
You're a gambler.
Well,
You're a gambler.
When
that song was written for you, wasn't it? You got to know when to hold him. Know when to fold him. Know when to walk away. Know when to run.
That's me. I said, I don't play a card. No, you see, when they bring out what they call the weight for the national, so what horses have to carry what weight, you see, and there's about 120 entered at the time, and it's maximum 40 that can go off.
Really?
Yeah. And mine was on about number 76. It was 76 in the weight, so that means that 36 had to come out before that can get in. But loads come out anyway, because either they're not good enough or for various reasons. But... actually, I don't even think it's actually officially in yet, but it will get in. Do you want to tell me what the name of the horse is?
Yeah. I want you to tell me, because I want to go and watch whatever race it is in
the
when
national.
It's not doing the national.
Because
it won't get in.
It will get in.
Go on then, what's it called?
Hot World.
Hot World?
Yes.
And what's made you pick Hot World? This show, by the way, isn't for anyone who's just tuned in, a punter's show about horse racing. That's what we always end up talking about, because it's Kelvin's will. But I'm interested in why you've decided to back a horse for a race that is not even in yet.
Because that's where the value is.
Okay. So you... Because
on the day, when it runs on the day in a couple of weeks' time, it'll be half the odds of which I got it for.
Yeah, but it'll be there. It'll be running.
It'll be there. But you see, it's all very complicated, because what you do is then you trade it off. So basically, I'll have a free bet running.
You've lost me there.
Let me explain very quickly, okay?
It'll have to be very quickly.
It's very quickly, this. Anyone can get this. You back a horse at 60 to 1, and you put, say, £100 on it.
Yeah.
At 60 to 1. Okay, providing you have a betting exchange account like Betfair or WBX or BetDAC. And then on the day, if the horse is 30 to 1, you trade it off at 30 to 1. So you get your £100 back, but then you've got a 30 to 1 free bet running then, because you've, as a risk-free bet, because you've traded it back. I'll show you some other time. People know about
punting. I think I understand.
Mm.
That's a mad way of doing it, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's also...
tell you what, what's the best? Forget everything. Forget everything to do with betting. Forget everything to do with gambling. The best thing that has actually come out of betting now is that advert for Paddy Power with Carlton Palmer in the bath. That is the funniest advert I have seen on television for years. You've not seen it.
I've seen the horse racing one where they got Richard Dunwoody on the horse in the kitchen. So I can imagine what the advert's like.
There's a fella in the bath with his missus and there's all candles and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And then he sat there and then his missus slips under the water and she comes up and it's Carlton Palmer. You know, the Carlton Palmer and the fella's looking at me, goes, "Yeah, I know it's you and Carlton Palmer in the bath." Shh, listen. It's absolutely brilliant. Because they could have picked anybody. They could have picked any ex-professional. But Carlton Palmer is funny. He's the worst player to ever get an England cap, bar none.
Really?
Bad. Oh, God. Graham Taylor gave him an England cap.
Who did David Nugent?
Honestly, now I'm better than Carlton Palmer was when he got his England cap. He was absolutely horrendous. And it's so funny. Funny, that advert. So that's the best thing to come out of betting. So you've bet on a horse that might be in a race, and if it is, then you trade it off and it runs for nothing.
Basically, yes.
Hmm.
Going to hang far a little bit. Personally think it'll win.
I think you're getting carried away now.
Yeah. You know what?
We've gone from not being in the race to winning.
Yeah, because everything stacks up with the National for this one. I think it will definitely get placed. Definitely.
Really?
Get placed. Yes.
So you're advising me to go out and lash me cash?
At the minute now, you won't get the odds I got, but you'll probably still get about 33 to 1. And I reckon on the day, if it lines up on the day, which it will do, it'll go off about 20 to 1.
Right, okay.
Trust me on this.
I trust you on this. All right. Well, this will be an interesting thing. I think we'll play this part of the show back.
I'm going to find out.
We're going to play this part of the show back in a couple of weeks' time.
We will do.
You're crying in the corner.
You keep talking, and I'm going to find out what odds it is at the minute.
Well, yeah, but you've got to remember this is time dependent. If people listen to the show on Saturday or Sunday, the odds may well... When you consider the millions of people who listen to this show and the rush that they're going to have on Hot World, once the news gets out, we're going to get blamed. Bookies are going to go mad. We're going to be the tipster's nightmare. Red Rum was the only one that ever counted for me.
Red Rum?
Red Rum.
You know that's buried at Aintree, don't you?
Mm, yeah.
I have to go there and leave a couple of polo mints.
Why?
Because it's the thing to do. Oh, now.
Here we go. This is an exciting bit of radio, I can tell. Don't you wish you had a record to put on?
You know,
you could have just played some music then to fill in 5 minutes.
Now, this is even better than I actually thought. Now, some firms are going 25 to 1, which is Betfred, Bowl Sports 25 to 1, Tote Sport 25 to 1, but Sporting Bet, and more interestingly, Ladbrokes are going 50 to 1.
Ooh.
50 to 1 for a donkey that should go off no more than 20 on the day. If it's in.
Sorry, 50 for one for a donkey that should go off at 20 on the day?
Yes. It should be, it'll go off 20 to 1 on the day.
Tell you what, that's not, interesting, isn't it?
That's quite a good price, actually. 50 to 1 with Ladbrokes. I might even go in again later. 64 to 1 on Betfair.
64 to 1?
Yeah. Yeah.
How can they be so madly different?
Because, everyone is different. You know, that's what you do if you shop around. You know, you wouldn't take 25 with Betfred if you can get double the odds at 50 with Ladbrokes. You have to shop around, John.
But 64 is the one.
Yeah, but Betfred's not a bookie. That's a betting exchange, which is where you're betting against other punters. So,
we're not having any of that business.
That means Johnny down in Southend doesn't think Hotwell will win, so he's put up 64 to 1 so I can go in and take his bet. Which is what you do to lay bets off, which I mentioned before.
Right, well, I think we've gone down a comedy cul-de-sac there as far as betting goes. I think we've educated everybody in terms of where to invest your money in the future. Do you think this is what happened with the global markets? Two lads were sat in a room one day and said, I tell you what, I'll offset gold against your oil. What do you think?
And then they all got
it wrong.
It's the same thing. Anyway,
is the word of the day for those who haven't listened to the show. What happens is we take a word... Sorry, we take a letter and discuss words around that letter in order to try and give the show some structure, I think's the word. Structure. We have a young, hungry student who comes up with words if we can't come up with them ourselves. However, one word that strikes me is brilliant for O is orangutan. Orangutan.
Good animal.
Good animal. But I was reading, it was only in the paper this weekend, about Borneo and part of their habitat is about to be missed and all the rest of it. But their DNA is 98.5% identical to ours.
Really?
98.5%. So there's only 1.5% difference between us and the orangutan.
What is it?
Well, I don't know, because there's some people that I know around here, to be honest with you, I think it's less than that. but I don't know what it is. It must be that bit that makes you walk on your hands, be airy all over, not dressed, and keep going... That must be the one
down here on the Saturday night, so you see plenty like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, there's plenty of orange people. I don't know if there's orange here, but they're orange in one respect or another, yeah. But isn't that fascinating to be so close? Just shows you the chance. Could have been a couple of monkeys in it. if we hadn't evolved just a little bit better to have clasping fingers and then be able to communicate with the master of words...
Mm.
We wouldn't be here either. Makes you think, doesn't it?
It does, actually. It does.
Anyway, that was...
we've talked about orangutans before.
Have we?
Yeah, we have. I think you've got a bit of a fascination with them.
No, it's just... I just think it's a great word.
Orangutan.
I've just pulled fluff on my belly button. No, I've got... Why is it... I've got grey fluff on my belly button and a black shirt on. Why does that happen? Why is it always grey? Why is it always the same colour no matter what you're wearing? And why... Where does it all come from? When you think about it, any time you wear clothes, the fluff's not coming off all your clothes, are they? You know what I mean? It's like a little whirlpool, your belly button, and it just sucks in all the fluff. I snuck it around, the next thing you know, there's a little bundle of it in the middle.
Oh, dear. Oh, buddy.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's the basis of the show. We're going to have a break in a minute because I need a really big cough because I can feel it coming.
We just spent the first part of the show just telling people what the show's about, and yet we haven't done any of what the show's about.
No, we have. What the show's about is about words beginning with the letter O, and we've done orangutan. We had a marvellous discussion about odds when it comes to... Hey, if the boss is listening, he'll think all that was just rambling on and me discussing horse racing with you, but it wasn't.
Ain't treat is an occasion.
It's an occasion, and it's a display of opulence, and it's organised.
Yeah.
There's loads of stuff.
Might overjoin us when Hotwell comes in.
Oh.
car.
Oh, yeah, overflowing.
With cash. With your pockets.
Yeah, 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 and you'll get a standing ovation.
Hey!
Yeah, it's not thrown together, this show, is
absolutely
it?
Absolutely.
You don't get magic like this for nothing. You listen to John Bishop, Kelvin Roberts on City Talk 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool.
Hot World, 50-1. Get on! Get on!
Tell you what, lad, that's not a bad bet.
John Bishop, Alphabet Soup, City Talk 105.9.
Bloke Talk with Duncan Barks.
Bloke Talk is one of those rare things on the radio where it actually does what it says on the tin. It's blokes talking about stuff. Stuff like this.
What you think is legitimate for the number of times you can wear something with no wash. See, I do it twice with a shirt. Mm. Do you reckon?
Well, boxer shorts.
Yeah, no, boxers
ones. Okay, you can put them on, okay, one day. Then for the next day, you just turn them around, right? And then you can get a third day out of it if you turn it inside out.
Really inside out and back to front as
yeah,
well.
4 days.
Yeah, okay.
So join us every weekend here on The Voice of Liverpool, City Talk 105.9 for Bloke Talk.
The right car, the right price. Motor Range.
I do a lot of miles, so I wanted something comfortable. At Motor Range, I got a 56-plate Vectra CDTI exclusive for just $4,995.
I didn't think I could afford a BMW till I went to Motor Range. I got a beautiful 56-plate new 3 Series for $8,595.
The right car, the right price.
End of the M57, Switch Island, A59 Northway.
Motor Range.
City at the cinema.
Nicolas Cage stars in sci-fi drama Knowing.
I was up all night going over this. I went through that list again and again, and I tried to fall dead, and I couldn't.
Maybe someone's playing a joke.
Having opened a time capsule buried for 50 years at his son's school, Professor John Koestler discovers a document filled with what seem to be random numbers. Upon further investigation, he realizes they have a rather sinister message.
She knew the coordinates for this last event. She tried to write them down. Teacher said she was interrupted. Ran out of time. She scratched him into this door. She's trying to tell us where to go.
Nicholas told us what he would put into a time capsule.
What would be interesting to put into a time capsule would be the DVD of this movie, because it is about it. It is about the future, and the experience would be cubist or even more abstract to have pulled this out of a time capsule.
City at the cinema.
It's the weekend. He's Bish. This is John Bishop's Alphabet Soup. City Talk 105.9.
Welcome back to John Bishop and Kelvin Roberts, engaged in what has been called the Alphabet Soup. In the first part of the show, we rambled on without any real end in sight as we discussed the machinations of betting.
Ramble on. We'll just give people the Grand National winner.
Yeah, well, we often say things on this show that never ever get revisited, but that one will. If Hot World, excuse me, if Hot World wins and wins well, yeah. Well, no, it doesn't have to win well, does it?
It can win by a Herbie Conflate, as I'm concerned.
But if it wins, then that's it. That's it. You have then elevated yourself to the level of Russell Grant. You are going to be, that's not a physical reference. You are, or a sexual one, you are then going to be, you know, the man who can see the future.
Yeah.
Like T. Lee Fan once was for us. You are going to be that man. Not that T. Lee Fan was a man, but you know what I'm trying to say.
You don't think I've got the skill just to be a good form guide student to pick a winner?
Well,
it's not in the stars, this son.
It is.
I didn't look upwards and see wisdom. You know what I mean?
It is. It always is with horses. But if that happens, mate, you'll be a legend.
Thank you.
You'll be a legend on this station. You'll be a legend in this city. You'll be a legend up this tower. And if I've got money on it, you'll be a legend in our house. No doubt about that. But the odds of it happening, let's be honest, are fairly remote.
Well, the 50-1.
Well, the 50-1. That's in some bookmakers. But there are others you can choose. So we've had this chat about that. We are meant to be discussing the letter O. And I think in terms of aware, we've just mentioned orangutan, which I think is a good O word. I think last time we did O, we mentioned onomatopoeia. Which is a very good old word. Very, very good old word. You're looking at me like, don't you remember?
Are you not comfortable there?
No, I am. I'm trying to... You know what it is? It's the temperature in this building. It's pretty hot today, isn't it? It's not... It's sort of... I don't know about you, but my top half's cool, but my legs are roasting. It's like, honestly, it's like I've walked past the heater, just at my ankle height. My legs are really, really... I feel like I should be in shorts and have a cardio on.
I get that on buses.
Your
ankles.
Oh, the train.
You sit there, you're burning.
Virgin Train's got a heater system which I still think is ran on coal, and there's no adjustment to it. And you can't wind the window down anymore, can you?
No.
You can't do that thing that you used to do when you were a kid and push it and then stick your head out and hope the train doesn't come. Why?
Because there was too many people losing their heads.
Yeah.
No, it's true.
That's a frightening.
I shouldn't really ever talk about this, but one of my dad's friends from work, he lost his son. He lost his head sticking out the window.
Oh no!
So he was head out the window and it hit one of the bridges.
Oh mate!
And he gone. So I think that's the main reason why.
We can't discuss that.
I'm saying that's the reason why you can't stick your head out the window anymore.
Compared to that being a little bit warm around your ankles, is not too bad, is it? Now that you've said that, I feel a little bit like a big Nancy boy for complaining. You know, if I was the guard, I'd get on and say, listen, keep your head on. It's a little bit awesome, but it'll be all right when we open the doors at the end. That's horrible news. Horrible.
But, you know, that's not an isolated incident. I believe it happened quite a lot. So we kind of have people losing their heads, son.
But that's how stupid people are, innit? You know what I mean? We are a nation of stupid people. We're, if somebody doesn't tell you not to stick your head out of a train going 100 miles an hour, we'll do it. And then when it goes wrong, we'll go, well, when you tell me? How was I to know there was a chance there might be a bridge coming up?
Bridge, train?
Train. I'd say the other thing that I always wonder, you know, if you ever see the lads working on the track, you know, particularly if you go over Sunday and you're in the middle of nowhere and there's the lads in the orange vest working on the track without a truck in sight, 40 miles from the road or the nearest side. How did they get there?
They get the train to stop and they just hop off.
That's what I mean. They get the train to stop and the train waits while they build the rest of the track. Just comes forward 6 foot at a time. You must waste so much time getting to and from the places they're trying to fix. It's incredible. So anyway, the word that the letter that we're using anyway is the letter O. I tell you what, a good word with O, a great word is orchid.
Orchid. Oh yes.
Orchid.
Another good horse.
Desert orchid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you knew that.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I think anyone who's got even a passing interest in betting, not in betting, in sports would know Desert Orchid. It was a legend, wasn't it?
It was.
But Orchid's one of those words that I think would make a lovely girl's name.
Orchid.
Orchid!
It's orchid. A bit of a sink estate name, though, isn't it, when you think
it is, but when you consider orchid, other names that are nothing about, I'm amazed some pop star hasn't done it. They call them Apple and Poppy and all kinds of stuff. Orchid's a better name than that.
Called Apple. Orchid. Is that Chris Martin's and Coldplay?
Apple. They've called it Apple Stardust or something ridiculous. You know when people are just too rich to be bothered? Too rich to think, well, they're not going to get bullied at school because we'll just buy them another school. You know what I mean? Everyone else has to think, I can't call him that. I can't call my kid Apple. People will be taking chunks out of it all day. Oh, that was a terrible Apple joke. Anyway, we need to get on to the lesson. Oh, we need to get on to something.
Aye.
Is that me?
That's you.
Oh, it's behind you.
Let's have a look.
It's charging.
So we see who it's calling.
Who is it?
Oh, it's your missus.
Oh, press. Oh, she's at a funeral.
Want to answer it?
Go on then.
Oh, she's just hung up. We'll see if she calls back or leaves a message. That's a smartphone, that.
Do you like it?
That's not even a phone. That's like a mini computer, isn't it?
It is, it is.
It's only for one of those Blackberries.
It's a Blackberry, so it allows me to have my diary, my email, my phone, all on it.
Wow.
But the problem is, and I'm saying this for any techno people who are listening, if you have a Sony Ericsson mobile phone, when you transfer the numbers from the phone to the Blackberry, it turns the name the wrong way round. I don't mean like the wrong way round in a mirror. I mean like the wrong way down, so the surname becomes the first name. Or if you've got stuff like I've got mum and dad, and becomes the first name. And it's such a nightmare because it takes you ages to get the numbers right. Because like if I'm trying to phone you, I have to phone Robert Kelvin. And I obviously don't look for Robert Kelvin, do I? I look for Kelvin Roberts.
That's right.
So
just put my first name in. How many Kelvins do you know?
They must know at least one. I put you in as Kelvin Roberts, anticipating that I might meet another Kelvin. You never know. It is true though, yeah, why don't you just put everyone's face name in? They don't get duplicated that much, do they? Not with a name like yours, like Kelvin, no. Because there are some names that you think you would see more of. No, like I thought after the Rocky films, there'd be lots of Rockies turning up. No, lots of, because there's some kids called Pele. You know, there are some kids who have got names of heroes. Rocky, Rocky's a great name. None of you are a girl, obviously. but a great name. I thought there'd be loads of them. But it didn't happen. It's like the Kelvin thing. You know, you've got someone called Rocky. Just put Rocky in your phone. Don't have to put a surname. Rocky Roberts.
But in the same type of films, you ain't got many clubbers. There's no clubbers. There's no Ivans.
Clubbers.
Clubber Lang. Mr. T in the third film.
Clubber Lang, go away. Clubber Lang. You're talking about that. I'm talking about Rocky as an icon, not Clubber Lang. Everyone just thought it was Mr. T. It was Mr. T pretending to be Mr. T. Who's now back, incidentally. He's now back. Not only doing Snicker adverts,
yeah.
But I saw an interview in the paper the other week about him and about the question to him was, you know, how'd you get into acting? And in fact, every question ended up with the same answer. And it was a typical, you know, these American, you know, say all the right things. It was a brilliant interview because it said to me, how'd you get into acting? And it said, you know, I worked as a bodyguard and then I got into acting and all I gotta say to kids is stay off drugs, stay in school and do the right thing. And it says, well, what's your ambition now? My ambition now is to carry on acting, do what work you can and keep saying to kids, stay off drugs. Stay off school, stay in school and do the right thing. It was brilliant. He asked about seven questions. And every answer ended up, stay off drugs, stay in school and do the right thing.
Fair play.
Oh, fair play. Definitely. Fair play. But again, he's one of those, isn't he, where Mr. T. I mean, what's his real name? Just no one knows, doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter, does it? He's Mr. T.
It doesn't matter.
That's all that matters.
Unless you're going through immigration. Imagine him coming through immigration. First of all, he bleeped the alarm off, wouldn't he, at the airport with all that chains. Mm. You know, you don't want to be stuck behind him when he's taking all that gear off. And then he's going to come through immigration and they're going to say, who are you? And go, me, I'm Mr. T. Why's your name different here? That's because I didn't stay in school, didn't stay off drugs, and didn't do the right thing. I'm gonna adopt that as a catchphrase.
On your stage show.
At the end of the show, I'm gonna say, "Well, thank you, good night, and stay in school, stay off drugs, and do the right thing." Brilliant.
Did he get famous in Rocky, or was he famous before Rocky?
Oh, it was the A-team.
Yeah, but did he get it after Rocky?
No! Man, you don't know anything about your popular culture.
No, definitely
the A-team came before Rocky. Oh, definitely.
I thought he found fame with Rocky. I thought the A-team came after it.
No, but I'm convinced it was the other way around.
Oh, that's okay.
I'm convinced the other way around. But anyway, what are we talking about?
Well, we're just talking about Mr. T.
Yeah, even though we're on the letter O.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's right. Is he a Mr. O we can talk about? Mr. O, think of someone. Jason Orange. What about him?
I'm not talking about him.
Why?
Because Why are we going to spend time here talking about Take That Dancers?
All right then. I'm just trying to think of somebody we know. Hey, Clockwork Orange.
Now, that's a good film.
Good film. Mad book. Ever tried to read the book? Impossible.
Really?
Impossible.
Who wrote the book?
Anthony... I was going to say Gormley, but it's not. Anthony... it'll come to me.
It was directed by Kubrick, wasn't it? Was it a Stanley Kubrick film?
Yeah, yeah. Impossible read. Anthony... Oh, I can't remember his name, though. You can't either. Because it's set in the future, and he has language. You know, instead of saying, you know, I saw something. It's like, I vidi something.
Mm.
I couldn't read it anyway. I was 19 when I was trying to read it. I wasn't bothered with reading anything. You know what I mean? I just wasn't interested. I just thought it made me look cool and allow me to get chicks. And when I realised I couldn't get chicks because it was a film about random violence and rape, I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll read Pride and Prejudice instead. So
did they come flocking then, did they?
Oh, flocking, did they? Yeah. Hey, yeah. Hey, when you're able to quote a bit of Jane Austen at them, they're all over you. Chicks love that.
I'll try that.
Chicks love that. Oh, yeah. Try it, lad. It works all the time.
Mm-hmm.
19th century romantic novels. Tell you, they were the Mamma Mia of the day. I came in the other day, this is honestly true. This is when you know you've been married too long.
Go on.
I came in the other day, and I'm not talking of a night now. I'm not talking night time. I'm talking maybe half 3 in the afternoon. And Melanie was ironing. And that's not the significant thing. You know, she irons all the time because clothes need ironing. So she was ironing in the daytime in the living room, which is not something that I agree with, to be honest. I think ironing needs its special quarters, not in the living room where I would have said it was the telly. But, you know, I wasn't in, so she was ironing in the living room. And she had all these clothes that she was ironing all over the living room. And the ironing was obviously taking a little bit longer because she was ironing whilst watching Mamma Mia, right? Which I can accept, but she didn't realise that I'd gone in. She didn't hear the key in the door. And the reason she didn't hear the key in the door is because she was singing. So when you come in and your wife's doing a duet with Meryl Streep, you think, nah.
What was the song?
It was, there's one with Meryl Streep singing. It was The Winner Takes It All or something. And then they all go with a big mad dance. It was one of them. I just went upstairs. I took the dog upstairs. I said, come on, let's have some boy time upstairs. Let's go and read the paper. But that is hard, isn't it? When you come in and just go, The Winner Takes It All. Go on, Meryl.
I've never seen that, actually. Have you seen it?
I know it's in our house.
It's the biggest selling DVD.
Unbelievable. It's got Pierce Brosnan singing. You don't want your James Bond singing. You don't want that, do you?
I went to the show in Vegas and I fell asleep.
Oh, you've been to the show, live version of Mamma Mia?
Yeah.
No way, when?
Oh, when did I go there? Maybe, 4 years ago? Huh?
In Vegas?
Yeah, I was so annoyed. Is that there was a few of us, one or two from here, and I wanted to go and see Celine Dion. But I got outvoted to go watch Mamma Mia. Crabbers!
Hello.
Are you booked?
Yeah.
How long?
No way.
Oh, come on. Come on, it's the John Bishop experience. It's the John Bishop experience.
I booked it, ages ago.
We won't be long.
Okay, how long's not long?
10 minutes.
We need to get in.
8?
6?
7?
5?
Just carry on.
That's what happens in this station, you see. You can't just make a show. You'd have to negotiate for time. We are, honestly, the refugees of this show.
We'll have to finish this show in a different studio.
I know.
How rock and roll is this?
Unbelievable. Who else gets evicted? I feel like that film about Radio Caroline. I mean, we're going to have to start doing the show on a boat in the Mersey. At this rate, we can never get a bleeding studio.
There are 7 studios here.
Full of them. not everyone's. Someone's making phone calls in one of them. Someone's not working. Surely not everyone's putting together the radio magic that is the Alphabet Soup. Surely not. They're not going to be winning awards, kid. Not like this show.
We're not leaving here till this show is done.
Hey, don't be acting hard.
Let's barricade it.
Don't be acting hard.
Do you reckon that paper bin basket will keep the door shut?
Well, I've seen the strength on his arms, probably, but I still think it's an effrontery to me, you and our listener, that every time we get on this show, every time we try and do it, and people know that we have to do it in the week because it gets played twice, so they know that we can't be doing it live on Saturday night every time or live on Sunday. They know that. They accept that. They accept that suspension of disbelief. But it's harder to suspend disbelief when you're in here and someone goes, hey, I've booked it. I've booked it. Get out. I've booked it. You know, I feel like we're on a pedalo. You know, a pedalo on holiday.
Yeah, they called us in.
And say, hey, number seven. Come in. You've been here for ages. Come in. I'm going, no, we've got more left in our legs. No, that's your lot. Come on, get out. You know, this is not the way to treat us. We had something really.
This is the non-award winning comedy show.
Exactly, mate.
You know.
This the let's hang on till Z. Let's just get two seasons out of it and then throw the towel in show. I mean, we're only up 2-0. So it's NOPQRSTUVWXYZ. That's not going to last. That's not going to happen.
How many weeks is that?
That's 11 weeks. That's not going to happen. 11 weeks of us consistently turning up.
That's like only till May.
Yeah, May.
We can hang in there, sure.
I can't. We can't do a day here without someone kicking us out. We can't plan to be around for 11 weeks. It'll be like an alphabet of super fun. Well, we're going to take a break while we transfer ourselves into another studio another place. Just get a tape recorder. Should we just get a little mini tape recorder and go upstairs in the zoo?
Should we do it?
Press the red and the black at the same time. Tape over all those old tapes that my sister's got at the Peaceful Hour from 1978.
Let's go, dude. Let's go get a tape machine and we'll finish the show on a tape machine.
That's what we want to do.
We're going to the zoo for a cup of tea, a slice of cake, and a bit of outside broadcasting.
Exactly.
This is what we've been reduced to.
That's what we are, though. In fact, forget it. If you just send us your address, we'll shout it through your letterbox.
We'll come round.
It'll be quicker than trying to do it in the studio. This is John Bishop, Kelvin Roberts. We think it's called Alphabet Soup, but at the moment we don't know because we're refugees from our own show.
John Bishop, Alphabet Soup, City Talk 105.9.
We all know girls talk, but what is it they actually say? Here comes a girl.
You know, when we're talking about buy now, pay later, can you imagine if I got my liposuction done on buy now, pay later? By the time I come to pay for it, I probably would have put it all back on.
Stop it. Let's move on, though, and talk about hairdressers.
I think they're more important than your doctor. Honestly, they know more about you than your gynaecologist.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. Do you know, I feel like I've fallen into an episode of Jeremy Kyle. I would never choose black and red, tarty kind of.
You're blonde, aren't you?
And?
I don't really know where I'm going with this conversation.
Yeah, I just had a really odd thought. I'm now picturing you in black and red underwear, Kim, and this is not normal. Yeah.
Look at them, isn't it?
Listen in, boys. You might learn something. Girl Talk with Kim Hughes. Here comes the Saturday night at 9 on City Talk 105.9.
City Talk 105.9, capital of culture highlights.
Liverpool Sound, Paul McCartney, live at Anfield.
You're becoming quite a regular visitor to Liverpool, and we're thrilled whenever you come back. You've played the King's Dock, you played the Cavern, you played the Cathedral, the Philharmonic Hall, Anfield. Is there anywhere in Liverpool where you think you should play that you haven't played yet?
I bet it's the Co-op Hall still there in Broadway. Well, Walton Village Hall would be good, wouldn't it? No, I just like coming back up, you know. It was good to have this request to do this in the capital of culture year.
Fantastic, awesome. I've seen him 5 times and that was the best time ever.
Brilliant. Yes, it was.
Brilliant.
40,000 people singing na 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 na.
fantastic.
Absolutely fantastic.
Paul McCartney still got it, definitely. He was really good.
Liverpool.
European Capital of Culture 2008.
Proud to be the voice of Liverpool.
City Talk 105.9.
The City Surgery. Weekdays at 12 p.m.
This Thursday I'll be joined by Pam Pearson in the City Surgery at 12. Pam's a specialist in sclerotherapy, which deals with the treatment of spider veins. She'll be telling us all about a treatment which is known as lunchtime legs and how this can reduce unsightly thread veins. We'll also be finding out how it can help itching, soreness and other symptoms associated with thread veins. Tune in to find out more this Thursday on the City Surgery with City Talk 105.9.
City at the cinema. Action.
Michael Sheen plays legend Brian Clough in the Damned United.
I want you fit for every game, and I want good, clean, attractive football from my captain, starting next week at the Charity Shield.
Telling the story of his doomed short spell as manager of Leeds United during 1974, Clough has to contend with a room full of players who were previously managed by his greatest rival, leading to a battle of wills between the boss and the talent.
I told you, never in all of my head again.
Have no choice. Windows opened up. You were in the blooming West Indies.
Windows? You mean there are others?
Messrs. Gamble and Hennessy.
Michael explained a bit more about the picture.
I think when doing a drama about a real-life person, I think in my experience they tend to work best when it concentrates on one small episode and that you sort of extrapolate from that and the audience get to do a bit of the work in terms of thinking about the rest of the life.
City at the cinema.
This is John Bishop's Alphabet Soup. City Talk 105.9.
It's John Bishop and Kelvin Roberts. As you can probably tell, we've been kicked out the studio. We're now sat in Cafe Nero, honest to God, looking like the worst spies in the world, because they've got a really little tape recorder that Kelvin's neglected to bring a microphone on. So he's sat there with headphones on, and how would you describe it? It's like we're talking into a ciggy packet, isn't it?
It's about the same kind of size.
Same kind of size. The people in the cafe now who start to leave around us. Like a couple of freaks. I can't believe we've been reduced to this. There was a time when I think I actually always recorded the one to watch, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We got an award, the one to watch for the future, and now we're in the future, no one's watching.
Oh,
so,
my word.
No idea.
I don't know how this is going to sound when we get back.
We've no idea what this is going to sound like, but you know what? Even if it sounds terrible, it's a lesson to the boss. If you don't give us a studio, this is what you get.
This is what we resorted to.
This is what you get.
I don't think management's not supposed to leave.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah,
just keep your head down, so yeah. No one will notice. There's two more leaving here.
Did I have people leave? I'm sat behind the counter. I'm sort of hiding behind the counter. There's a business meeting going on in the corner. There's two lads with those baseball caps. You know where the baseball caps are fashionable, so fashionable that the peak has to be a sideboard. Straight is a sideboard. No bending that peak whatsoever. So he's just looked at his face suspicious. You know what? I don't think we can do this every week. We're going to get battered somewhere. It's going to kick off, you know, because the plan, if this works, I think the plan should be that every week we go out, we have an hour out. No, don't do any more in the studio. But, you know, I think that's the best way of doing it. We can be two blokes sat on a bench talking, because that's all the show is. But we haven't got the sound of wind around us or seagulls.
We should just do one sat in the square and leave a cap and see how many people throw money at us. I reckon before we get a few quid. Possibly.
But yeah. You mean just sat there, this is what we're reduced to, give us money for a microphone. I think that might be the future.
It could be.
A broadcaster. As I'm talking, he's waving me for, we're as close to kissing as I think we've ever been. And I'm not sure I'm entirely comfortable with the experience, to be honest. Anyway, with San Cafe Nero, I had a Pantone, which was a cake that they cooked, which I'm not sure that was a good idea, and a coffee. And Kelvin had, guess what? Large hot chocolate with whipped cream, everything on it, loads of marshmallows, gingerbread men and everything, and then a cake.
So not only is this show going to suffer through the quality of sound, we're probably both going to have heart attacks by doing it this way. It's not the fittest way of doing it. Now, the next time we do an outside bro, we'll have fruit.
What do you want to do? Bring butties? Should we bring a flask?
Bring your own sandwich. Yeah. Bring your own sandwich. Yeah, I like that. We'll have the packed lunch. That's what we can call it. Instead of the alphabet soup, we'll call it. Oh, no, we do it on Sunday evening, can't we? Saturday. All right, then we can call it the... I don't know. What did it used to be called?
It used to be the Sunday service.
You're carrying out. You could be called you're carrying out. That's what my mum used to call me dad's dinner. When she made him a dinner when he was going to work. This is carrying out. I don't know if that's just a... Did he say that in Witness?
I've not heard that one.
Carrying out, yeah. That's what I thought you were called. Yeah. Probably was carrying me dad out. He's going to work. We're drunk again, but we're carrying him out.
I've got to dash after this show. I'm playing the tunes at Anfield today.
No way.
Being a Sunday against Villa.
No way.
Yeah, I'm DJing to 45,000 people.
How do you get that job?
Well, it's not my job. It's one of the guys who works here. So I'm covering on holiday cover.
Where do you do it?
Do you know where the scoreboard is?
Yeah.
Well, above
that's
that.
That's where my seats are. Look down.
Yeah.
Look down underneath the clock.
That's right. Well, I'm just above the clock.
Because I thought that was the police in that class.
It is. So you got police in one half, then you've got
and
guys
a DJ
who,
in the other.
And a DJ. So I'm going to turn up with me CDs and me cap and drop it like it's hot.
You honestly sit next to the police DJing?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that'd be too tempting, that. I'd be putting all kinds of records on. I just played the police greatest hits. So are you in a little booth or are you next to the coppers?
Yeah, this kind of like segregated a little bit. You're in this little partition. There's a guy, George, you know George has been there for like
George's
80 years.
Yeah, George's been there forever, hasn't he?
So you're just in the same place as
the
he is.
The story behind George is great because he just turned up, didn't he, and said, why doesn't someone play records? And he said, well, you can if you want, but all right. Brought his own.
30 years on, he's still playing the same records he played 30 years ago.
And when you're in the ground, he'll always come over and think George, and he go, and there's a record from a local band, the Brownheads, and put some record on, and no one's ever going to buy, no one's ever heard of, if someone slipped him a tape in a pub. It's brilliant. Yeah. And they're always half decent as well, so that'd be good. Oh, that's good, that's perfect. What a perfect Sunday afternoon that is.
It's good, isn't it? And you only got fingers to get access all over your pass as well.
No way.
So I had to go out underneath the tunnel thing, so I touched the sign, you know, I walked around all the pitch and then I had to walk back the same way.
No.
Yeah,
way.
It's real cool.
No, why don't we do the show from there? what are we doing in Cafe Nero when I could be walking around the pitch at Anfield?
I know, I should have thought about that one.
Should have done.
Maybe next time, sausage.
Maybe next time we just run on. Just for here.
Go on.
He's rubbish him, get him off. Anyway, I think our experiments for outside broadcast has gone particularly well.
I think for the first start, we admittedly, we look like secret agents here, but...
Well, we look like secret agents in a rather embarrassing way, but we'll give it a go.
Of course, in the 80s doing this, we'd have been sat here wearing T-shirts with the station logo on, with a couple of dolly girls behind us, you know.
Exactly, but in the 80s, that's when, you know, local radio stations were flush with cash and didn't have the strong fiscal management that we have today. And that fiscal management has reduced us to buying our own coffees, our own hot chocolates, our own cake, and doing the show. Oh, well, let's be honest, the weakest form of technology that I've seen since the Betamax video. Anyway, thanks for listening.
Word off.
Are we going to have one?
Well, yeah, we might as well while we're here.
Coffee?
Yeah, well, we've already cleared out all the clientele, so we might as well continue.
All right, we'll have a very quick
because, because the staff are hovering now, so I think we're going to make this quick.
All right, then.
Okay, right. Oh,
Do you think we're a very, very bad secret shop? We've been checking the cake. All right, then. All right, ostrich.
Omelette.
Orangutan.
Owlfish.
Ovary.
Overstrand.
Overstretch.
Oscar.
Outlandish.
Out what?
Outlandish.
Oh, right, outlandish. Orange.
Outback.
Open.
Outdoors.
We're sorry about this, we're just recording a show. Okay.
Outdoors.
Opal, as in opal fruit.
Opalus, which is what
Opalus. The show is.
Don't finish.
Okay, I'll do.
Don't,
okay,
don't,
say goodbye.
Don't finish,
say goodbye.
Finish,
say goodbye.
Finish. We're going to go on the happiest record in the world and slow puff as the worst two spies this city has ever seen. Enjoy what's left of your weekend.
Bimbo, bimbo, where you gonna go, wee old bimbo, bimbo, what you gonna do, wee old bimbo, bimbo, does your mommy know that you're going down the road to see a little girlie, oh? Bimbo is a little boy who's got a million friends, and every time he passes by, they all invite him in. Sing and dance and talk his baby talk, with a hole in his pants and his knees sticking out, he's just big enough to walk. Bimbo, bimbo, where you gonna go, wee oh? Bimbo, bimbo, what you gonna do, wee oh? Bimbo, bimbo, does your mommy know that you're going down the road to see a little girlie, oh?